Before we start today's episode, there's something important for agencies seeking a reliable way to attract new business, especially during busy periods. I want to introduce you to Leadflow Sprint. It's an eight-week program that simplifies your marketing and consistently attracts the attention of potential clients without requiring a massive marketing budget or external sales teams. With my 17 years of experience in aiding agencies to gain visibility and new clients, this program offers a practical and effective approach to lead generation. Forget about unpredictable leads and embrace a method that works across different agency sizes. And if you're keen to learn more, you need to visit caffeine.club/LFS. That's caffeen.club/L for Lima, F for Foxtrot, S for Sierra. Now let's get into today's episode. Welcome to Caffeine Espresso, where today we're zeroing in on one of the most crucial aspects of creative agency marketing, positioning. In the last three episodes, I've covered the four agency archetypes that we've identified as a business, working very closely with a large number of agencies. The real magic happens when you know how to position your agency in a way that not only resonates with your ideal clients, but also sets you apart from the competition. So whether you're scrappy or an agile, traditional, reliable, collaborative and inclusive, or a lone wolf with a unique vision, there's a strategy that's most going to align with you. You're listening to Espresso, a podcast series from Caffeine that delves into how we grow our creative agencies. I'm Charlotte Ellis-Maldery, a new business and marketing consultant with over 18 years of experience with leading London agencies. Before we get started, I want to ask a question. Do you have a system for generating consistent new business leads? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. And you should. I want to talk to you about how you're managing it. I've found that setting up your agency with tools for automation can accelerate leads to your business and save you time. That's how I help my clients. You can find out how I can help your agency drive the right kind of business to it and save time by going to caffeine.club. That's caffeen.club. I'm going to have more info in the show notes. And aside from that, let's get into today's episode. So today, as I mentioned, we're talking about positioning strategies for each archetype that we've identified. So scrappy. We're going to start with scrappy. And it's really interesting how many people have responded to me after these podcast episodes have gone out and said that they are scrappy. A scrappy agency might fear being perceived as inexperienced, unprofessional, or too small to handle significant projects or, and actually problems as well, significant projects and clients effectively. This mainly comes from old school views about agencies, and things have changed greatly. There are agencies of all sizes and types doing their work in brand new ways. You don't have to strive to be a traditional agency. And by traditional, I mean with an office space in Soho somewhere or on Charlotte Street, with the traditional number of people that defines a medium-sized agency. You don't have to be in business at a certain number of years. You don't have to have the leading FMCG. If you work in brand and pack design, which is my background, you know, you don't have to have those under your belt. Necessarily, there are so many other challenger brands that you could have been working with and handling. So you don't have to strive to be a traditional agency. You have to amplify what really sets you apart and feel proud of it. So here's what to watch out for. Don't overcompensate with jargon or buzzwords. I have audited plenty of agency websites and profiles filled with marketing language that offers almost nothing to the imagination. It's often to appear more knowledgeable or up to date. Instead, it means you're less likely to stand out. And I can't tell you the number of agency websites that I've looked at where I haven't, after going through the entire homepage, I still don't understand what you do. I don't understand who you do it for. And that's a big concern, because if you're not able to articulate that, then the people who you're driving to your site and spending all your energy and time marketing to and encouraging them to be curious about your business, you're just going to waste that effort if they don't immediately get who you are and what you do when they arrive at your website. So instead, what I want you to do is take the time to really define who your agency is. Create a detailed profile that covers your agency strengths, values, mission statements, vision, and personality. Know your agency voice. And by that, I don't mean spend 3 hours a week for an indefinite number of weeks in a boardroom fighting with each other as stakeholders to try and understand what you're about. I have done that more times than I'm happy to admit. It's never efficient. You never end up getting anywhere. Even if the more time you spend on it, the less likely you are to come up with something concise and meaningful has been my experience of that. It's funny, isn't it? How this is what we do for our clients, but we cannot do it for ourselves. It's my experience. It's been the majority of the time we're not able to do it for ourselves. So we have a solution for that at Caffeine. I'm just going a bit off script here in terms of what I was planning to talk about. But when we work in lead flow sprint, so our most collaborative way of working at Caffeine, where you have mine and my copywriter's eyes on your business for the whole period of time that we're working together, the very first session you have with our copywriter, Sarah Lucille, is a messaging and positioning call. It can be a very in-depth and consuming call energetically, but what comes out the back of it is the most incredible document where all of this is defined. So you don't have to go through those hours in the boardroom. And it's incredible how perceptive she is to who you are as a business. It's incredible sometimes. Somebody looking at it from the outside who is a very experienced copywriter and spends a whole lot of their time working with many, many different kinds of businesses, not just agencies, to understand positioning, point of difference. It actually makes such a difference that she doesn't operate normally in this industry, because she can come in with fresh eyes and in a jargon-free way, articulate who you are, what it is that you do better than anyone else, and who you do that for. She's personally done that for my business, and I've really found the difference in terms of how we're then able to apply that, how we can speak to things, how we can write an email, how we can draft the homepage of the website. I mean, it never ends, right? The house jobs never end. There's always more you could be doing. But if you've got a defining statement, a defining document that covers off everything about who you are, it makes it much easier to do everything else, because that is done then. It's a line in the sand that you can move forward from rather than spend all your time navel gazing. I really am ranting now, but this is my experience. Is people spend a long time trying to understand what makes them different and not actually speaking to the people who would pay them. And a lot of what we do at Caffeine is get you past that navel gazing and into the outreach, into the marketing, into the new business, to ensure that you're starting those conversations with potential new business, with potential clients, because those conversations always take a lot longer than you expect. So you need to start them a lot earlier than you think you do. And that is why we don't spend too much time in the boardroom, so to speak. So spend a lot longer on that one than I expected. What I don't want you to do is pretend that you're bigger than you are. You might feel tempted, and just as a reminder, we're talking about a scrappy agency archetype here. You might feel tempted to downplay the fact that you run a smaller team, fearing that potential clients will see this as a limitation rather than a benefit. This might include not highlighting the scrappy aspect of your approach, which actually could be appealing due to its agility and personalized attention. Okay, maybe not the actual word scrappy, but the kind of sense of moving fast and maybe not breaking the things in the spirit of Zuckerberg, but moving fast, pivoting quickly, not spending ages making something, polishing something to absolute perfection before you know whether it's going to work. So I think a lot of businesses that I see, when they talk about having a long-term partnership with that agency, it's normally because they consider them an extension of their team, in the sense that it feels like there are lots of words here like collaborative that I know not everybody enjoys hearing about the agency client relationship, but that kind of sense of we're happy to kind of challenge each other and pivot quickly, and no one's ego is going to get bruised around that. I think that is the benefit of the scrappy, so to speak, agency. And I think it's often underplayed. I think that agility is massively appealing to a lot of clients. If they know you're a safe pair of hands, then the agility is just a massive bonus. If they're not sure that you're a safe pair of hands, which is a something we're going to come on to shortly, then the agility could come across as scrappy and a negative aspect. Coming on to that, what I do want you to do is use case studies and testimonials to demonstrate how you've achieved more with less. This could be a particularly appealing to startups and SMEs looking for dynamic partners. But also, if you are a smaller, scrappier agency and you want to work with those bigger clients, it's going to be vital that you have case studies, results, and testimonial to demonstrate that you are that safe pair of hands that I've just mentioned before. If you can demonstrate the return on investment, the effectiveness of the work that you've done, then, like I said, the fact that you're smaller and more agile is only going to be a benefit. So the summary of this is lean into your strengths and really highlight the results of your projects. That's not easy to do, right? It's easy for me to just say, go get results from your projects, go get testimonials. I say this the whole time because it's true. You should, but I have to do it for my own business as well. I know there are so many barriers around that, both in terms of asking for feedback, asking for results way further down the line and fearing that something might be negative rather than the positive that you're hoping for. Then having the discipline to repurpose that into context that will be useful for your clients is, I work with an external partner to do customer listening exercises for my business because I really hate getting feedback personally. That's just something that I don't enjoy, but is vital to the growth of my business. I know that. So I pay for somebody else to do that externally and then digest all those insights into something that I can then put into action. And even though I do that, there are two very recent reports that that person has done that I still haven't implemented into case studies, even though everything is just sat there waiting for me to do it. So I say that because, there's so much discipline involved in getting results and highlighting the successes of your previous project. But believe me when I say that that is one of the biggest barriers between you and the kind of projects that you want to be working on. Demonstrating that you're a safe pair of hands. I know it about my business. I'm still struggling to do it. So I'm not denying it's hard work, but it's such a huge win. It's so, so worth it. So as a scrappy agency, you don't want to fear specialization. Scrappy agencies might fear that declaring a niche or a specialization will pigeonhole them, limiting their appeal. And you could believe that being perceived as a generalist will open up more opportunities. Even though a well-defined niche could actually attract more targeted and suitable clients. Something else to do, find the commonality between many of your projects. Identify your unique differentiator. Find what special powers you know you bring to a project and talk about that clearly in your copy. But don't do it with unclear marketing jargon. Be specific and clear about what it is you do really well and how it directly solves your ideal client's main problems. Don't present a corporate image that just isn't you. Let your messaging reflect the kind of experience that your clients can expect. This means that you don't need a very formal website and marketing materials that don't reflect the true personality of your agency. There's another reason for not pretending to be somebody you're not. Nothing will flow naturally in terms of marketing. Nothing. No messaging, no case studies, no award entries, no press releases. It will all feel forced and effortful, and therefore you will avoid it and not do it, and therefore it won't work for you because it doesn't feel like your tone of voice. So I think that's really, really important to understand. My experience is the more I sound like me in the emails that I send, in the outreach that I do, in the podcast episodes that I record, the better response it gets. And that has been a really interesting learning curve. People want to be spoken to like humans. And there's something else about speaking like a fellow human to a client and not putting them on a pedestal and not feeling like you need to use lots of jargon and complicated language. It also comes across as more confident. So if you aren't speaking in a forced, and when I say speaking, I mean in any way that you're sharing words, it could be on a website, it could be in an email, it could be when you're speaking on the phone, it could be a LinkedIn message. If you talk like a human and not like a desperate human who is really eager to please, then you're much likely to get a better response. So on that note, do have a personality. Let your website be unique. Allow your voice to feel personal and human. Trust me, you will reap the benefits of that. I have. Now, traditional agencies, they often come with a legacy of experience and a broad service offering. but they might worry about being perceived as outdated or not agile enough in the fast evolving digital landscape. So really important do's and don'ts for you. Don't rely solely on your legacy. Traditional agencies might be tempted to lean too heavily into their history or past achievements, which could make them seem out of touch with current trends and technologies. Instead, do emphasize your agency's ability to blend traditional wisdom and modern strategies and technologies. Highlight ongoing learning, adaptation, and integration of new trends and tools into your proven methodologies. Do not hide behind corporate speak. Traditional agencies might fall into the trap of using formal or outdated language in their marketing materials, making them seem impersonal or disconnected from today's market. So instead, do use a more relatable and updated tone in your communications. Showcase your agency's personality and the human element behind your team, making your agency approachable and relevant. Now, that's all for traditional agencies on this particular podcast episode. I'm going to move swiftly into collaborators. So collaborator agencies focus on working closely with clients and other partners, emphasizing teamwork, transparency, and shared success. It's really important that you don't downplay your leadership role. While emphasizing collaboration, there's a risk of appearing as if you lack direction or a strong point of view, which clients look for in an agency partner. So instead, do highlight your agency's role as a strategic guide and thought leader within collaborative relationships. Showcase examples where your leadership and expertise have led through to breakthrough results, emphasizing the value of collaboration without diminishing your agency's contributions. Don't be vague about your process. Collaboration is a strength, but without a clear process, it might seem chaotic or inefficient to potential clients. Do clearly articulate your collaborative process, including how ideas are generated, decisions are made, and projects are executed. Highlight tools, platforms, and methodologies you use to ensure seamless collaboration and communication. And finally, don't hide your team. Some people talk about their collaborative approach without sharing names behind various projects. This can cause some suspicion or simply hide the power of your collaborative process. So instead, do share credit, name names, talk about the expertise different people have brought, even if they're not always on a project. This shows you as someone who can curate a genius team and that you put a lot of care into who works on projects. You know, on the theme of all six of those points, I think that one of the biggest benefits of the collective style agency model is the fact that you can hand pick a team based on the brief so that you're getting the absolute A team for, and I mean, this is the theory, right? It really depends on staffing and accessibility to people and availability and all kinds of other things. And budget, of course, and timings, yada, yada, yada. But this is a big appeal for lots of clients. The thought that it's not just the same old agency that's been turning out the same stuff for various different kind of project types. It's a very bespoke formed team to tackle exactly their problem. I think that's such a huge, huge benefit. And yeah, and I just want to highlight that. Like it's super important. It can come across as all the things that we've mentioned in terms of the lack of direction or lack of strong point of view. You may feel like people are over-egging the idea of we handpick a team, but I don't think you could say it enough. I think it's really important to emphasize how that is at the heart of your business model. It is a massive point of difference coming back to your messaging and personality and what makes you stand apart from the competition. Lone wolves. Lone wolf agencies or freelancers pride themselves on their independence, often offering deep specialization or unique creative visions. They might be concerned about being perceived as too niche or unable to scale. So really important here, don't be too general in your messaging. For example, I've seen thousands of agency sites say things like award-winning agency. That's a great detail to share, but it's not specific enough to be appealing to new clients who don't know you at all. So do find your message, know what you specialize in and do really well. Then talk about that a lot. Connect with the problems you know that your ideal clients face. So a good example of that would be, I don't know, you have a really specific niche as one client did recently in ferry aggregator websites. And it may be that this person had completed three different projects, all with amazing results. Potentially some have been award-winning, but instead of saying, and they don't just work with that kind of company, by the way, but instead of saying, we are an award-winning agency specializing in travel, they talk instead about, since we've worked together, they still talk about the challenges that that client faces, and then pepper in the benefit of, oh, by the way, did we tell you that we've got return on investment of X on this kind of project before? Did we tell you won an award for X project? Almost like that is the, it's the evidence that comes afterwards. What is really important to connect with the client before that is, like we've just, like I've just previously said, is just chatting through their challenges, the problems that they have, and then talking about them in depth so people understand that you get them. You get what their challenges are, what their problems are, and because you've seen them 100 times before and you're ready to face them again for them on their behalf. So something really important here, don't try and work with everyone or any type of client. You can stretch yourself thin, and it's very challenging to appeal to cold leads if you don't have an angle of some sort. So you just can't be everything to everyone. And my experience is, even if you narrow it down, and you don't have to whack it on the front page of your website, but even if you narrow it down in terms of your targeting and who you're reaching out to on a quarterly basis, you will find that the appeal will still be wider than that. People will talk about you. They'll say, oh, this isn't right for me, but someone else I know is looking for something right now. Or you might start getting referrals because people see that you're on the lookout for work. It's no coincidence that over 40% of my revenue last year did not come from creative agencies at all. It came from referrals of clients who are creative agencies, where we've worked together in the past, and then they're advising a client and they say, you need a Charlotte, you need a caffeine. And I end up working with them as well. So trust me, even if you specify who you work for, that's not the only group of people that you're going to be appealing to. So don't worry about that. So instead, do be the go-to person for something specific. Embrace the role of expert or specialist in a specific area, even if it's just for the purposes of your outreach. So like I said, it doesn't have to be on the front page of your website. It might be that you produce something that is of really keen interest for a very specific niche, and then you reach out to just those people for 3 months. So when you speak to a really specific area, it builds trust quickly and helps you to land more clients. Also, take the time to really understand your ideal client. Identify their problems and design solutions so that you can speak to that directly in your marketing materials, as we said in the previous point. So just an example of the be the go-to person for something really specific. I remember when I was at Brand Opus about a decade ago now, around that time, Stranger and Stranger, and they probably still are actually, I haven't kind of caught up with where they're at recently, but Stranger and Stranger were the go-to for spirits brands. Like, there was just no arguing about it. If it was a spirit brand, you undoubtedly had Stranger and Stranger involved in the briefing process and pitching process or whatever form it took. They were so well known in that area. So it might be that you embrace that on the front page of your website if you do feel like you really are a specialist, like they were at that particular time. Or it may be that you lean into that kind of, we are the go-to person for that in your messaging specifically to one audience. But either way, that's what we're aiming for. We're aiming for people to see it and think, well, yeah, duh, they've worked with all of those people. They had this incredible experience. They produced this resource on our area. At very least, it warrants a conversation. A don't on this one. Don't undervalue your unique perspective. Lone wolves might feel pressure to conform to more traditional agency models to appeal to a broader audience. But instead, you need to do lean into your unique qualities. Showcase how your singular focus or approach delivers unparalleled value and innovation. Use your portfolio and client testimonials to demonstrate how your distinct approach has achieved results that larger, more conventional teams may not have reached. Positioning your agency effectively is about way more than just standing out. It's about connecting in a meaningful way with your clients, with your ideal clients. By understanding your archetype and leveraging its strengths, you can craft a positioning strategy that not only differentiates you, but also resonates deeply with those you serve best. So if refining your agency's positioning is on your to-do list, Caffeine is here to help. You can visit us at caffeine.club, that's K-A-F-F-E-N.club, to start the conversation about how we can elevate your agency's profile in the marketplace. And if today's insights have sparked ideas, please share this episode, leave a review, or give us a like. Your support helps us continue to provide valuable content for agencies looking to grow. Until next time, here's to making your agency's presence known and felt in all the right ways. Just before we wrap up, I want to touch on a crucial opportunity for your agency's growth. As a creative agency, your primary focus should be on delivering exceptional work, not getting bogged down in sales and marketing. And that's where Lead Flow Sprint comes in. It's an 8-week program designed to streamline your lead generation process, bringing in a steady flow of potential clients to you. No more struggling with the ups and downs of trying to gain the attention of new business. Our program includes hands-on support, including direct input on your copywriting, ensuring a bespoke approach to your lead generation needs. No more feeling stuck in the feast or famine cycle. Our real-time support, including direct feedback on tasks like copywriting, helps you to bid farewell to inconsistent leads and embrace a lead generation system that's tailored to your unique needs. Visit caffeine.club/LFS. That's K-A-F-F-E-N.club/L for Lima, F for Foxtrot, S for Sierra.